to find a copy of the authorized scriptures in the pew in front of you, pick it up. Turn with me to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. And we're going to read together some verses from the book of Exodus. And we're reading in the second chapter of the book, Exodus chapter 2. And we are reading from verse 1 to verse 15. Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass, in those days when Moses was grown, that he went unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied on an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over me, over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And then turning to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In the New Testament. And we read of Moses there in verse 23 of Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a goodly and proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover of the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, of which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Ending our reading of the Holy Scriptures, and God will stamp it with his own approval and blessing. I want to speak tonight on the subject of Moses. I would call Moses the man who was always shadowed with death. Moses was shadowed by death before he was born, and he was shadowed by death every inch of his pilgrimage on earth, until God himself dug his grave in Nebo's lonely mountain. He was a man always in death's shadows all of the days of his life. He never had any experience that is recorded when death wasn't near and the shadow of death was upon him. When he was conceived in his mother's womb, the death shadow was on him. For Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, had said, all male children must be slaughtered, and all of them must be drowned in the river Nile. None of them shall live. And so as he lay in his mother's womb, the death shadow was upon him. And then, when he was born, the death shadow was upon him even more. For the decree had gone out that all the male children were to die. And his mother looked at him. He was a beautiful child. And she said, I'm not going to allow Pharaoh to deal death to my son. So she hid him for 3 months. That must have been a terrible time for his mother. How could you hide a crying child for 3 months? It's almost impossible. I don't know how she was able to conceal that fine boy that God had given. But the death shadow was upon him. Then when 3 months went by, she couldn't hide him any longer. So she made an ark. And she pitched it within and without with slime and pitch. And she said in her heart, when death was going to strike the whole world, God told Noah to make an ark. And he saved Noah's family. Please God, God will save my family. Save my newborn babe, Moses. So she put him in the ark. and laid it in the flags by the river side. But the shadow of death was still upon the child. And then King Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe, and she saw the little ark in the flags and among the bulrushes. And she sent one of her girls, one of her maidens, to bring the ark to her. And she brought the ark. Now remember, this was Pharaoh's daughter. And she knew all about her father's judgment. And so he was in more danger than ever before, face to face with the daughter of the murderous king, Pharaoh. But isn't it interesting? When the little ark was opened, the child wept. Those were hot tears that the princes of Egypt faced, and they melted her heart. So God did a miracle and turned the death shadow into a shadow of divine protection for Moses. And she brought him up. She got her mother, because Moses' sister, Miriam, went and spoke to the princess and said, "Would you like a Hebrew woman to come and look after the child?" She said, "Yes." And so, the first time in all history, payments by the state for the bringing up children were initiated. And they got the family allowance stamped with the head of King Pharaoh. But as I read about Moses, I read he became of age, and the shadow of death was still upon him, as we shall see. And one day he went out and he saw an Israelite and an Egyptian fighting. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no man, he killed the Egyptian. And the next day he went out and two Israelites strove together and he rebuked them. And one of them turned on him and said, "Who made you a ruler over us?" "Let me tell you, Moses, I'm not going to take your decision. You're going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday." The death shadow was on Moses as never before. He had to flee out of Egypt, and he fled to Midian. The death shadow still reached there. And I'm sure that Moses, every day when he did his work with the sheep of his father-in-law, he worried when the Egyptian soldiers were going to come and arrest him for the murder he had committed when he was in Egypt. But then there came the day when he returned to Egypt to do the work of God. And he had to go in before Pharaoh. And every time he met Pharaoh and they came together face to face, there was anger and bitterness in the heart of Pharaoh. And the death shadow remained upon Moses. And after he had conquered and delivered the people from Israel, he faced again the whole might of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. And in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel 10 times rebelled against the leadership of Moses. And Moses never escaped from the shadow of death. If you open your Bible at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find some very interesting verses from verse 24 of Hebrews 11 to verse 29. And you'll find 14 experiences of Noah, of Moses. 14 experiences are shown in these few short texts. First of all, you find the transformation of Noah. He was completely changed when he became of age. When he had come to years, verse 24. Here was a young man who had grown up in the palace of the king. If you read carefully the first book of Samuel, you'll find that his brother Aaron joined him in Pharaoh's palace. Evidently, the daughter of Pharaoh brought Aaron, Moses' brother, to the palace and brought them up together. They were given all things. And at that time, Pharaoh's kingdom was the leading kingdom of all the world. But when he came to years, decision time came. A hard decision had to be made. Will I live my life in pretense, as pretending to be the heir of the throne and the son of the princess? Or will I go and associate myself with the slaves, the Israelites of Egypt? Transformation took place, and Moses made a decision. Notice what it says. Notice carefully these words. He refused. That means he was offered. You can't refuse something that you're not offered. He was offered to remain as the daughter of Pharaoh's, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the heir to the kingdom. Moses, the throne is yours. The kingdom is yours. One of the great Hebrew historians records that Pharaoh had only one child, his daughter, and that daughter never had a family. Although she was married, she had no children. And miraculously, of course, Moses was saved by her from the waters of the Nile. But when he was told he could have the kingdom, he refused. Do you know how much that refusal cost him? Do you know into what jeopardy he put himself when he refused? Look with me at verse 25. And you have in verse 25, you have his transformation, he came to years. You have his renunciation, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You have his dedication. He made a choice that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God. Instead of choosing pleasure, he made a choice of trial, trouble, bitterness, persecution, and even death itself. And then you'll notice his repudiation than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Hold it for a season. Remember this, dear sinner friend. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. And that season, measured by eternity, is just the flicker of a candle. What a fool you are to sell your soul for the pleasures of sin for a season. But here was a man that made the right choice. And then we move from his transformation, renunciation, dedication, repudiation. We move to his estimation. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. He made an estimate. And he said, if I associate myself with my true Hebrew brethren, I'm going to be reproached. I'm going to be despised. I'm going to be a slave. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be under the taskmaster. But this man, Moses, said, I care not. I have made a measurement. I have said, I esteem the reproach of Christ. Look at his specification. He measured what he was giving up. And he said, I would rather have the reproach of Christ than the greater riches of the pleasures of Egypt. It says concerning him, he saw him who is invisible. How long was the sight of Moses? It stretched right into eternity. It stretched as far as man could see. He saw him who was invisible. Notice his determination. He said, I'll leave Egypt. I'll go away into the far country. Egypt will not know me anymore. And by faith, he forsook Egypt. Goodbye, Egypt. Goodbye, the palace. Goodbye, the pleasures. Goodbye, the riches. Goodbye, the throne. Because I'm going to forsake this nation. And then notice the wonderful consolation he had. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. There was another fear that he had, the wrath of God. And he made a choice. And he said, I'll not have the wrath of God to fall on me. I would rather have the wrath of the king to fall on me. There it was, his consolation. And then notice his revelation. He adjured as seeing him who is invisible. Oh, what a great thing when the eye of God's man sees Christ. That's when the great miracle of conversion takes place. When our darkened eyes are opened, that's when death's shadows are removed. And notice something, that revelation of seeing God
put an obligation on his heart. And what was the obligation? The obligation was to keep the Passover. And when God saves a person, their obligation is to obey God. And God not only changes the life, but he changes the attitude of the person to God. And then look at 28 again. And he said he kept the Passover so that the firstborn could not be destroyed. There's the preservation. And then we come to verse 29. And in verse 29 we have the exaltation. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. And we have the annihilation of the whole nation of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are saying to do so were drowned. 14 experiences in the life of this man. What a man this man Moses was. Unlike many who, yielding to the general impulses of youth, espouse the cause of the wronged and fight their first battles under the flag of liberty. But then when they grow older, in mature years or old age, they live to desert it. Moses never deserted the cause. Moses never swerved from the good decision that he made. He pursued it to his grave with a pure, unselfish patriotism to his people. He never weakened. He never allowed injustice to rule. He never was filled with ingratitude. He was always filled with thanksgiving. You know, the greatest man in the Bible between the era of Adam to the era of Christ was Moses. He outmeasures and outshines every other biblical character. And when we get to heaven, his is the only name that's linked with Christ. In heaven they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. He was a tremendous man, this man Moses. Oh, he hadn't a quiet life. It was a life of troubles. He was cast into a sea of troubles. He was hissed at by his own friends. The people that he did so much for threatened to kill him. And they referred to him as for this man Moses. We can do without him. We don't need him. There was no man's leadership who was more rebelled against than Moses. For 40 long years, 10 times, they rebelled against him. But he kept on going on. He was bred in a palace, but he espoused the common cause of his people. He was brought up in the lap of luxury, but he embraced adversity. He was reared in the palace of the school of the despots, the pharaohs of Egypt. But he became the bravest champion that liberty ever had. He was long associated with oppressors, but he took always the side of the oppressed. Educated as her son, he forfeited willingly the favor of a princess to maintain the rights of his own poor. With a crown in prospect, he made a choice. He chose a cross. And for the sake of his God and Israel, he abandoned ease, refinement, luxuries, and the highest earthly honors to be a homeless wanderer, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The man Moses, the death-shadowed Moses, prayed a prayer. I just thought about this. I'd never seen it before until this week. You know what he prayed? He said, "Lord, show me thy glory." And the God said to him, "Moses, I can't do it. If I showed you my glory, you would die. But I'll tell you, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And when my glory has all passed by, I lift my hand. And you'll see the aftermath of my glory." But Moses still continued to pray, "Show me thy glory." And 2,000 odd years afterward, the prayer that he offered was answered, for he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he stood and he saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It says he saw his glory. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God always answers the prayers of his people? It might be 1,000 years before they're answered, but they'll be answered in God's good time and in God's own way. What a man this man was. And you're asked in the scripture to follow these men. These men of Hebrews chapter 11, we're to follow in their footsteps. I trust tonight that every believer here will have those 14 great experiences of transformation, renunciation, dedication, repudiation, estimation, specification, expectation, determination, consolation, revelation, obligation, preservation, exaltation, and annihilation. Those are all promised to those who, like Moses, walk with God. The greatest thing that a man can do is to be in step with heaven and walk with God. I pray, God, that everyone in this meeting may be walking with God and enjoying the fullness of power. And if you're not a Christian, you can start to walk with God. You can be transformed as Moses was. You can become to the years of accountability and put your faith and your trust and your hope in Christ alone. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst write it. Write it, O God, upon all our hearts, and help me to walk with God. Help me in the death shadows of this world to be like Moses and walk with the Lord in the light of his word. For those not saved, save them. For those that are dilly-dallying with the world, cut off their desire for the pleasures of Egypt and help them to see that the best pleasures are with Christ, and our treasure is in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. Hear this, our prayer, for Christ's sake. And everybody said, Amen.